Let's say your small business has a problem. Like maybe one of your doggy daycare customers had an accident. You might say something like,
doggone it!
Hi, Chihuahua!
Holy schnauzers!
But if you need someone who can actually help, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there!
And get help filing a claim from your local State Farm agent. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I just don't think they actually realize a good thing when they have it.
They just scored. Sorry.
I'm a score now. We have a set piece.
Absolutely right.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball
in association with Cadbury,
official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here, as always, to take you through all the action from the Women's Super League at the weekend, and of course, everything that is happening at home as well. Joining me, as ever, to go through everything that has happened is the one and only Captain Karen Duggan. Karen, how are we?
We're good. How are you?
I've been sick for the last like week or so, so apologies to everyone for this coming a little bit later to your ears than normal, but I had no voice yesterday and I simply could not let our podcast listeners go without hearing my lovely melodic voice. That's great that I messed that one up. Anyways, moving on from my ailments, we are also joined by Ireland international Jamie Finn. Jamie, how are things?
Yeah, good, thanks. All good. Training away as usual.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Training means that you're heading in the right direction with everything. So that's a very good thing. Interesting times that we are living in when it comes to everything that's happening here at home. Karen, I mean, it's one of the rare times we're coming to the podcast and I actually get to, you know, have a bit of a result against Peamount for Sligo Rovers. So thank you for that.
That's why we got that result. It was just so we could keep the peace on the podcast, you know?
Well, I do appreciate you finally considering my feelings after all these years. But some moving and shaking around the top of the table as well. It's been a really, really interesting final run-in.
Yeah, big time. Felt like it was a three-horse race for a very long time, and that was a credit to Galway and how they came through this year. And just unfortunately, the kind of run of fixtures that they had, kind of a tough one for them, a lot of games, and probably the points they dropped against Wexford were the ones that stick out, and maybe that put a little bit of doubt, because going away to Shelburne was always going to be a big task. Now they really put it up to Shelburne, as we expected them to, and Kate Mooney with the poacher's goal that just gave them that advantage. But all in all, it's still Athlone that are in the driving seat after that thriller against Rovers at the weekend. Really good advertisement for the league, I have to say. Two very, very good teams and a lot of individual talent on show as well. I think everyone's seen kind of probably Madison Gibson's free kick, and that took a lot of the headlines. But the way that Rovers were able to respond through Joy Ralph, who I think has been brilliant, and she's a real one for the future. Just a game that kind of had it all.
Yeah, it was a brilliant advertisement for the sport, as you say. And also, we will have one of the goal scorers on a little bit later on. Scarlett Heron is back with us to talk through what she noticed from the weekend happening over in the WSL, besides her own goal, which we'll, of course, have to hear about. Because, Karen, you're sadly no longer the only active footballer on this. We now have three of you, so you can't be getting all the glory.
I was never that active anyway.
I don't know about that now. You had your moments. There was a few team of the weeks, a few goals, a few other things that we won't mention because they never happened and we've eradicated from our brain.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jamie, have you been that surprised at the side of the league that it has kind of, well, before the weekend, you would have said three horse race, as Karen said, maybe a bit tighter now at the top with Athlone getting that break?
Yeah, no, I think I've been really impressed with Athlone this season as well. Like, you've seen glimpses of them last season. But yeah, really impressed with them. And also Karen was saying about Galway too. I think they've been great this season. And it's great to see that more clubs are coming into the top four or five. Like, we want that. We want entertaining games at the weekend. We don't know who will win the league. Like, we want all that. We don't want it to be, well, from the neutral point of view, I don't know about you, Karen. We want it to be entertaining, like good football, good show of football every weekend. And I think that's what it's been this time. And we need to keep building. We don't need to just stop here. I think Karen will obviously agree. Like, we need to keep building, like, going to Champions League. We spoke about it before. Like, those are standards and we need to get there. We need to keep going with it. And yeah, listen, it's going to be an entertaining, what, last two games of the season.
Big question is, though, will we have a podcast next week, since it is a little bit of a podcast derby happening?
Karen, will be you be a able podcast? I'm just not sure how.
I might just be talking to myself.
Possibly, we'll see. Obviously, Shelburne have an awful lot to play for. The double is still there. They have to do their job. Obviously, it all lies in Athlone's hands. They need one win, and they get their hands on the title because of head-to-head. So both teams have a job to do. Obviously, we're not playing for anything title-wise, but we have to put an eye on next season and build. And who better to do that against than your main rivals over the years, Shelburne? So it's a game we're looking forward to. Look, obviously, we haven't had the best run of form and things like that, but that kind of goes out the window a little bit when you have games against Shelburne. So we're hoping to have a say in it. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But again, it's really up to Athlone now, and if they can keep their heads. You know, they've managed really well with some of the losses they had throughout the season, and that hasn't been easy. I think that their start of the season really has stood to them at this point, where it's come down. They've had injuries and girls going pro and stuff like that. So they had strength and depth that they were able to replace. Brenda up front, she's come in and she's taken the league by storm. And that makes such a difference when you have just an out-and-out goal scorer. I think it's the same when it comes to the WSL and what might separate maybe a Chelsea from possibly an Arsenal now, without, you know, someone who's going to do a Niedema and get 30 goals a season. It's the same in all leagues. And when you have that, you're always in with a chance.
Definitely. Jamie, you will be hoping, I assume, that P-Mount don't stop the onward track and that Athlone are tripped up a little bit in the next final two rounds.
Yeah, obviously. But no, I think, like, being in that Shell's dressing room, I think they won't really be looking at Athlone. Like, they'll just concentrate on, yeah, themselves and their own game plan. Obviously, they'll be confident from the results just gone against Galway coming into this game. And they need to be. Listen, they've nothing to lose. They'll go out and play. It's always, always a great game against P-Mount. I can vouch for that. So I'll probably have to go to this one and see how it goes. Yeah.
To make sure you shot lots and lots of abuse at Karen from the sidelines and put her off. Although she'll probably get a red card then for shouting back or something similar.
Never gotten a red card. I know when to stop.
In your entire career, you've never had
I got one red card, and it was under 14 community games, and it was a case of mistaken identity, I think, to be honest.
I mean, I'm quite impressed, I have to say, that is some record that you have.
I don't know if that's a good record for a defensive midfielder. Maybe I should be putting myself about more. Maybe this weekend is the time to start.
It just means that you're
such wood. I've never had that either.
Jesus, you're very well behaved, the two of you. Maybe I have to start implementing a system here where I give you red cards week on week, just to, you know, switch things up a little bit. Also just wanted to give a bit of a shout out as well to the Irish women's homeless football team. So they just came back from South Korea, where they won the Homeless World Cup, which is an incredible achievement from them. And they beat the USA in the final 5-2, and they scored 42 goals across 10 different games. And it just goes to show, in a week where we have the FAI committing more money to grassroots girls football, how important it is that we recognize the people that are playing for us across all different levels, whether it's league, whether it's internationally, whether it's something like this. So it's a really, really great achievement for them to get. I think the men came eighth overall as well, which was brilliant for them too. But of course, women are always the best at these things, especially when it comes to football in this country these days. So just wanted to mention them on the podcast. And if anyone is interested in getting involved, Irish Street Leagues is what a lot of the competitions are run through on this side of things. So if you know someone that you think might be good at getting involved, or if it's something that you want to help out with, I know they're always looking for volunteers. And Ireland are also looking to bid for the next World Cup as well, which is pretty cool. That's happening in 2028, I want to say. I read somewhere. No one take that away to the bank, and because it may not be true. But yeah, I think that's when it's happening. Karen saw this week that, you know, in her boots, the whole idea that the FAI are committing more money to grassroots football. We've got involvement from the coaching side, from the women's national team, which is really good. Anya Gorman was launching it during the week. How important is it that we have this money now, and also that it's growing? I know they're going to work with a lot of the development officers. Part of me is delighted to see it, but the other part of me was like, it's been a year since the World Cup. Should this have been brought in a little earlier?
It should have been brought in years ago. I mean, grassroots is, you know, it's the building block for everything. And I think that the issue with the underage leagues in Dublin is still ongoing. Obviously, isn't the DDSL is there, but wasn't it the other league is had to disband, and there was all sorts of issues there and that led to, and that should be addressed as well. Because until we're at a point where we can invest in things like academies, this is where the work is done. It's with the volunteers and the clubs and giving girls the opportunity to play. And that's really the big thing. If you take away their opportunity, that's just going to lead to drop off and go into other sports and stuff. So it's obviously a brilliant step forward. It's a step that should have been taken maybe earlier, but we'll take it as it is. And it's good to see that it's not just in terms of getting the girls on the pitch. It's looking at coach education, and it's looking at things like nutrition and fueling yourself for sport, which can go under the radar a little bit as well. I think people think you have to be a certain look or shape to be athletic, and that's not the case. You need to fuel your body correctly, and it's kind of a different conversation there, and misconceptions among maybe young girls as well. And it's an important conversation that coaches should be having. And it's great that that's being addressed as part of this as well. So hopefully all of that will lead to more participation, and even things like less injuries going forward, and just knowing how to create an environment where girls can thrive and grow and enjoy their football as well. And yeah, it's just all about getting girls out on the pitch.
Jamie, I thought that was the interesting part of this campaign, is that they are trying to focus on talking to coaches and making sure that they understand the things that they need. Because as we all know, like, a lot of grassroots is run off volunteers. It's run off people who are very kindly giving up their time a couple of hours a week to take training, to go to matches. And you might not always have the time outside of that to look into these things, or the resources themselves might not just be there if you're interested. So how important is it that we are getting that training for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you said, it's all about education. And if we can get these girls in at an early age, like, I think it starts at 9 years of age, isn't it? Like, if you can get them in early and kind of at that age, they're sponges. They listen to everything you say. Like, so if you can get that in early, educate them on, like what Karen was saying, like nutrition, sleep, like all that stuff off the pitch, away from the pitch. Like, as I said, if you can get that in early to young girls, like, it just makes it so much easier as they progress through their career. And if then they do decide to go professional, they have the tools there. They have all the education behind them, you know? So I think it's a really good initiative, and one that's very welcome to you.
Yeah, no, definitely. So that's the In Her Boots campaign, and the FAI are launching it at the moment. So look forward. You can sign up for different workshops, I think, through the FAI website. So if that's something your club is interested in, definitely do look at it. As I said before, like, they've loads of experts involved. There's Angela Canelli, who's the physio with the WNT, Eva Casagrande, who's their performance coach, and then Brendan Egan, who's a nutritionist with the WNT as well. So lots of very professional people that will be helping you out. For now, we're going to leave you with that, and we are going to be right back with our team of the week. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Emma Carroll to run through her team of the week. Emma, I've started noticing, and I'm not going to call them out, a couple of other places doing team of the weeks that don't normally do them, and they're having snazzy graphics. So I think your influence has been spreading, let me say, after a little bit of a while. But do you want to fire into your team and we can get talking about it?
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. 4-2-3-1 formation. Starting off with the goalkeeper. There was probably a couple of shouts, but I left the green tinted glasses on because I think she really deserved it this week. CB, Courtney Brosnan in goal. Then we've got Bronze, Letizia Bott and Casper at the back. Manchester duo in the middle of Hasegawa for City and Clinton for United. And then Beaver Jones, Kirby and James as a three. Nice three there. And Rachel Daly up top.
Very nice. Karen, dig in. Yeah. Take a big bite. What are you thinking?
Very nice. I wouldn't like to be defending against that team. I wouldn't mind being in midfield because there'd be no one there. Everyone's up front. But I think it's good to see the likes of Rachel Daly back into it. Obviously, the first season she came back, she was on fire. Obviously, more difficult with Villa last season. But she was really good. And I think possibly, the midfield is pretty solid as well. You know how I feel about Grace Clinton and Hasegawa. I love watching them. But only other shout, maybe Jordan Nobbs. I thought she was really involved in a lot of the good stuff that Villa did. But a nice mix of teams this week, which is really good. And I think that's obviously a reflection of how tight some of the games were as well. It was hard to kind of separate them, a single goal between them. Obviously, you could have put as many Chelsea players on it as you wanted, including the subs. You probably could have picked 13 or 14 of them if you're going on stats, because the amount of attacks, the amount of possession that they had. But the likes of Letizia and Bott, they had to do a lot of defending. So I think that they're worth their place there. And Casper for the goal was just brilliant. You know, she just bombed down that left wing, and that's what you want from your full back, and she can do the job defensively as well. And Lauren James sneaking back in, as she does, wreaking havoc. So yeah, really, really good. Obviously, it was mentioned on commentary a bit, Aggie Beaver-Jones, that she maybe had a bit of her breakout season last year, so a lot expected from her, but a lot of really good stuff went through her as well. So yeah, really, really good team. Well done, Emma.
Thanks. Take it.
Rare that you get.
The goalkeeper we could debate, but we won't, because we're too biased.
Bagley was really good, but I thought the goal wasn't her fault, Brosnan's fault, so no. Really poor defending. And I think for the rest of the match, then she I could have had a couple of more. I think she kept that score down. She's going to be vital for Everton. If Everton's defence keep continuing the way it is, Brosnan's going to be vital, because they are poor.
Yeah, and Van Domsler probably put her hand up with a save, and certainly put her hand up for the number one spot. Kathleen, you seem to be nodding. You were waiting for this.
I mean, I did say last week that my feelings were that I think she should be our number one this season. Fair enough. Maybe she needs a couple of games to, settle into the role a bit more. But I just think we should be putting our faith in a young, exciting goalkeeper like that.
And she's proven. It's not that she's not proven. She's
Exactly. She's not.
Now.
She came into the last Euros and was totally untested pretty much at an international level at that stage. Came in one of the first group games and performed really, really well for them throughout the entire tournament. So I think she's totally earned her stripes in that regard. And I just think with Zinsberger, there's just been too many mistakes for me up to this point, and a little bit of uncertainty. And I think that if Arsenal are going to challenge, they need to be defensively strong. And I think she's going to be very key to it. Jamie, you were nodding your head for the Courtney Brosnan conversation and also some of the other bits that Karen was saying there.
Yeah, I would agree with Courtney. She kind of kept them in it. I mean, I would agree the goal was not her fault. But I think the situation of the goalies at Man City is kind of interesting. Obviously, Yama, is that her name? Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah,
I'll go with it.
Oh yeah, we'll go with it.
If you say it with confidence, Jamie, yeah, then everyone in Ireland will believe that is how you say it.
So she started the weekend, and then I actually was listening to Gareth Taylor, and he said like he doesn't really like the whole number one and two. He said like it just happens naturally. So
that is something I just don't agree with. You have a number one. It is the foundation of your team, is having a settled back line, and more so than that, it is your keeper.
Somewhere so, Emma Bird has just like perked up and yeah, she's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, is he trying to deflect a little bit there from like the English media questions maybe around Ciara Keating?
Yeah, maybe. And then she obviously started midweek, didn't she, at the Champions League. So are they going to keep rotating? I think that's very interesting. Like, and he did say that Yama will obviously come in, and like Keaton is young, so she obviously needs someone to train with and to learn off as well. So yeah, it's a
head scratcher.
Yeah, I found that interesting that you said that. Like, I feel for me, I'd be the same as Karen. Like, you have your number one, you have your number two, and yeah, they train together and work like together, you know. So I found that was interesting.
I also always think it's interesting when they have that conversation at the start of the season, because I feel like it's one thing if you see, you know, you've had all of preseason with them, surely someone in training is starting to, you know, go ahead, show a little better. If one person is better at distribution and the other person's better at straight stopping, then you should be encouraging one to talk to the other so that the other improves that. For me, it just makes more sense for like defensive solidity rather than swapping in and out.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like obviously Man City will have a lot of games this season as well. But yeah, I don't know. For me, it's like you have your number one and then you obviously change maybe for cup games and stuff. I don't know. But I don't know. I would have my secure number one, especially with Man City. Like, you want to be keeping clean sheets. And yeah, that comes obviously from the goalkeeper in your defence. So I've just found that was very interesting.
Emma, is there any performances there that you want to pick out in particular?
I thought Frank Kirby was great. Like, such a threat for Brighton. What a signing for them. She still has it, doesn't she? And then Lucy Bronze's finish, like, I know she has it in her locker. Like, we've seen her do it a couple of times for England, but what a finish for a defender.
Yeah, and it was, like, I don't really understand how she got so much power with a side foot. I was like, what's in your boots? Something like that. But yeah, it was quality. And yeah, Chelsea just, they have goals coming from everywhere, don't they?
They really do. Emma, thank you very much as always. An absolutely brilliant team of the week that we're sure won't be ripped off anywhere else. Coming up next, we're going to have Scarlett Heron, goal scorer of the weekend, to talk about what she noticed from the weekend's WSL fixtures. Now we're joined by goal scorer extraordinaire Scarlett Heron to look at her tactical piece for the week, which isn't how to score a lovely goal, but we will obviously ask about that, but it is actually the Art of the Target Woman, which is a great title. Sounds like it should be the title of a book or something. Scarlett, how are we feeling a couple of days after the weekend?
Yeah, good. We had a tough game against that loan, obviously. And it was a game that if you were a neutral who paid in, you definitely got your money's worth. So yeah, still was coming down off the high Saturday night, so I think I got to sleep after the bus journey for a few hours, but all recovered now.
What was it like? Because obviously you say if you were in neutral watching that game, it was very entertaining, but what was it like to actually be in the middle of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games where you kind of come out of it and you're thinking to yourself, that's why you get involved in football. That's really cliche to say, but it's true. Like, and especially like the Athlone supporters are class, and even when they score to go ahead, and then when they equalise as well, like the run over to the fans, and the fans are going mental, banging everything. You could just hear everything getting hit, and it's it was a great atmosphere for a game as well. So yeah, it was a great game to be involved in.
Well, good stuff. We're not going to linger too long on your success and your general joy, lest Karen spontaneously combust in the corner there. But you have down the Art of the Target Woman for this weekend. And I actually didn't even ask you any details about this. So please do unveil what you have observed from the weekend past.
Okay, so this is a bit off maybe, but basically was watching the games the weekend and specifically a few goals. So I have six goals here across five different games, and they're all Saturday games. Like, I didn't really take anything from the Chelsea game just because there's so much going on, so many goals to dissect. But I found a bit of a pattern between goals, a bit of similarity between some of them. And so I'm basically going to go through three different types of goals that were scored and sort of the art of like the target woman. Now, two of them actually, one is a midfielder who actually scores, but I'm just going to, for the benefit of this, I'm going to just pretend that she was like a target woman for this. Okay. So I have three different like sort of subsections and there's two goals in each. So I'll start off with just the general classic target woman play. And the two examples I have is Bethany England's equaliser against Villa in the last few minutes, and also Bunny Shaw's goal against Brighton. So I'll start off with Beth England's equaliser. So it's classic centre-forward play. She's standing in between the two centre-halves as she delays her run. Nilden gets out wide and plays it just into her. And she sort of delays her run in the middle. And she's between the two centre-halves. I think it's Lucy Parker who has her sort of clinged. She's the furthest centre-half from the ball. And just as the ball gets played, Bunny Shaw just steps forward and gets in between the two of them, and the two centre-halves just completely lose her. And it's just such a simple finish. And it's sort of, it's one of those little runs centre-forward that just sort of epitomises what it is to be a successful striker. Because you look at, in the men's league, the likes of Haaland and all these like easy finishes, but like they're poachers finishes, and they're what makes a good centre-forward. And then if you look and you compare to Beth England's goal, then it's nearly the exact same. Obviously, she scores with a header, but she stays between the two centre-halves, and you're kind of playing on the blind side of the first centre-half and far enough away from the back centre-half so that she thinks she has you, and she thinks that the centre-half in front of her also has her, but no one does, sort of thing. So you're kind of just, you're playing off both of them at the same time, and just to laser run again until she gets, and until the ball's played in, and it's just such a simple header finish for her. And it just, again, it's the two goals are the exact same, and it just shows like the quality of both players and the experience, obviously, of both players to be able to sort of recognise when their teammate's going to pass it into the box. And I think it was Casper who played Shaw's ball in, and it's sort of that she made a brilliant underlap on her own to get the ball played out wide to her and then to cross it in. And I just thought it's interesting to see, like, they're both obviously world-class players, and to have the exact same finish, it's just one of those classic finishes that just is the true art of a target woman, or like a target man or a target player, whatever. So they were the first two goals, the first sort of set of goals that I had. And the second one was just, in general, it was just scoring off of press. So obviously, I took Grace Clinton's goal against Everton, and I took Frieda Manham's goal against Leicester as well. So Grace Clinton's one is, both goals kind of come off mistakes from defenders. So obviously with Grace Clinton's, it's Catherine Boss plays a back pass to her goalkeeper, but she kind of doesn't see Grace Clinton bombing through the centre. Justin Van Haver, sorry. She plays the ball backwards and Grace Clinton intercepts it and just does really well to get around the goalkeeper and finish. But it's sort of that aggressive press that I'd say a lot of teams are going to try to implement this year. Obviously, you're trying to put pressure on the centre-halves, on full-backs, whatever, try and nick the ball as quick as you can. And it was sort of that aggressive press that won the ball back for Grace Clinton to score against her former club and won the ball back for United. It was that backwards press that got them the goal and everybody won them the game. With 1-0. And then you look at Arsenal as well, their only goal came from a successful press. It was Catherine Bott this time played the ball backwards. She kind of played a sideward ball into the middle. I think she thought she was going to be playing to the centre half, but then she didn't see Russo coming through the centre, just nicked it off her. And to be fair, a lot of the Leicester defenders did well to get back, but it's the same sort of idea, squares it back to Frieda Manham and just slots it home. And it's the same sort of ideas of pressing and pressing until you finally, even if you don't get it after a few goes, to keep going and going. And it's sort of that resilience of like strikers, centre forwards. You're not always going to get the ball, but it's sort of, you need to keep going until maybe you get an opportunity, and when it comes you have to take it. And that's exactly what United and Arsenal did at the weekend. So that's the second set of goals. The second set of goals that were just, I thought, like really, really similar. And it kind of, this is just to show, I suppose, similarity between goals and how they're all you can have world-class strikes, obviously, but a lot of goals in the WSL and leagues around the world, they're all sort of the same. Like, they're all so similar in different ways. But and the last one I had was just two identical headed flicks. And I thought this was, like, the standout one for me because they were so obscure. The first one I had was Ueki's. Is that how you pronounce it? Ueki for in the West Ham Liverpool game. In the last few minutes to equalise for West Ham. And the second one was Rachel Daly's goal against Spurs. So if Ueki's one, it was just a lofted ball in. They were 1-0 down against Liverpool. I think it was the 84th minute or so. And keeper comes out to try and maybe punch it out. And Ueki, who's, I don't know what height she must be, but she can't be more than like 5'6", just gets a flick on. And she's not even facing the goal or the goalkeeper. She just sort of gets something on it. And I don't even know if she's trying to get it into the, if she's trying to score a goal or what she's trying to do, but it was a great finish and ultimately got them a point from the game. And then you look at Rachel Daly's goal and it's so similar. Not even facing. I think it was Lucy Stanford who actually, when I was looking at this, has scored for six different clubs in the WSL, which I think is a record. And I was just like astounded by that fact. I just found it accidentally when I was doing this. Anyway, plays it into the box. She's sort of in between, Lucy Stanford's sort of in between the halfway line and maybe the edge of the box. She's far enough out, just sort of lofts the ball in. Rachel Daly kind of out of nothing. Becky Spence comes to try collect it, but she probably could have stayed in her line, I'm not sure. But just again, Rachel Daly not even looking at the goal, just gets a head on it, a flick on, and ends up in the back of the net. And those two goals were just so, so similar. And they were really abstract goals as well, so...
It looks like we may have lost Scarlett a little bit there. She is so dedicated to the podcast. She is sitting in her car outside training, waiting to go in. So, yeah, that's where she's at the moment. Karen and Jamie, have you guys, how do you feel about target women or target players in general? Hate to see them coming? Think they add something to the game?
Well, if you're asking me how I'd feel about marking someone like Bunny Shaw, not great. I do think it's kind of what I mentioned at the start of the podcast, having a poacher. I think that's particularly what she was referring to in terms of the Bethany England goal. And like that's just getting across the front of the keeper. Like that's that instinctive movement that comes and a sign of a really good striker. When she's talking there about the Ueki and Daly goals, I think unfortunately we probably do need to look at the keeper's roles in that. Obviously you always back yourself to come, but if you come you have to take the ball, and if you don't take the ball you take the player and you possibly give away a penalty. So the risk versus reward there is probably not worth it for those keepers coming out, particularly at those stages of the game. And we hate talking about keeper mistakes, but if that's the difference between 3 points and 1 point, as it was in those two cases, you'd be kicking yourself a little bit. Especially teams you like Liverpool giving up that late lead again. Okay, they don't want that to become a pattern, and you need cool heads at the end of the game if you are to get the 3 points. And I think Matt Beard will be a little bit disappointed with that. And then the other section, we're just talking about Manham and Clinton's goal. Again, we mentioned it on the podcast last week, Everton's playing out. And to do it so early in the game, it's a little bit of a pattern with them. I understand that they're trying to build something, build a style of play, but you have to pick and choose your moments and probably pick and choose the teams that you do it against. I wouldn't be trying to overdo that against your Arsenals, your Man Uniteds, Chelsea, City, you know, teams who thrive off a high press. So
funny the way you put United in with those other teams, Karen Bear.
Because they scored the goal. I'm just backing up Scarlett here, you know. We're a team on this podcast, Kathleen. But yeah, in a game where you have been so solid otherwise and you don't cough up a lot of chances, again, it's just those fine lines that make the difference. And when you have a poacher or a target player, as Scarlett mentioned, you are going to get punished for those things. In terms of an out-and-out target player, you look at the damage. Now, obviously, Crystal Palace have quite a bank of players and they're going to play like that. But when Chelsea are playing against more open teams, what Ramirez can do, the fact that her hold-up play is so good, but also she's willing to run at players. Same with Bunny Shaw. I think that they're the epitome of a really, really good target player. And I think that they're going to be huge this season for their two teams, because they're instinctive in that way.
Well, let's look at all those games as well, because, I mean, it was funny that there was basically the same amount of goals in the Chelsea game, all for Chelsea, as there was across the rest of the league, with both City and Arsenal getting close 1-0 wins, United getting that 1-0 win over Everton, then 1-1 West Ham Liverpool, and 2-2 in Villa Spurs. Jamie, in terms of Arsenal and City doing just enough, Arsenal potentially more concerning than the City result in that we've seen a resurgent Brighton this year. It seems like they've got their act together. And I think a lot of people, having seen the first day, would have thought that they would have proved a tricky situation for City, whereas Arsenal really should be putting a few more past Leicester.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing, kind of watching Arsenal. Yeah, listen, when you go out and play Leicester or teams like Leicester, they're gonna bank up against you, and it's about Leicester ask questions of Arsenal's forward play. Like, how did they break them down? How were they gonna break them down? And it took Leicester to give the ball away for Arsenal to score. Now I think Russo done well to pick out Manum, but for the goal. But I think, yeah, it was kind of disappointing for Arsenal. Like, didn't really create a lot.
Do you think it's an issue for this Arsenal team where they can only focus on one thing at a time, in that they had Champions League during the week, which was a big deal in terms of making sure they qualified, but we've seen it even in previous seasons and even earlier on in this season, in that first leg against Hacken, that they really struggle when they have two games that they need to focus on. And I wouldn't even say two big games necessarily. You know, yes, the Hacken game was big, but they should know themselves that they have the quality to oversee them. And they should definitely know they have the quality to oversee Leicester.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, like, it was kind of strange as well. Obviously, like, I think during the game, Caitlin Ford played three different positions. Was that right? Like, she played right wing, left wing. And then when Katie came off, she played left back. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think that's just, and to even, I don't know, Katie could have been pre-planned to take off for minutes, maybe. I don't know.
I think Adeval said after the game was that he thought she looked tired, so he took her off. So that was basically, there was no injury or anything involved.
Yeah, I just think, like, you're only 1-0 up against Leicester. It's a risky score, especially when they are defending so well. I thought they've obviously barred the goal. They could catch you on the counter as well. And I think their keeper came up with some good saves come the end as well. So, I mean, yeah, it was disappointing. Like, and you look at Man City, I just think they look more, I don't know, like, they're exciting to watch, I feel. Looking at Man City, I just think, like, both teams have such good quality players. I just think Man City are kind of maybe gelling more. They can break down teams easier, and it's, yeah, more exciting to watch, I feel.
I like the way you hesitated on the watch there, as if Adeval is listening in and he's deeply upset that you called his Arsenal team uninspiring or uninteresting to watch. I do think it's fair, though. That's why I picked those two as comparisons, because to me, they were two very different 1-0 wins.
Mm-hmm. Also very early in the season as well. I know I've said that last week against Liverpool. I mean, I think that's a different story for Liverpool. But the quality that Arsenal have, I do think it will come together. It's just which players are in certain positions and how does he manage that as well. Difficult.
I mean, Arsenal had plenty of possession, but in terms of shots throughout the game, Leicester had nearly as many. So they're leaving themselves a little bit vulnerable, and they're not taking a huge amount of shots in these games. So you wouldn't say that Arsenal dominated that game. They were probably worth their win. Whereas Man City, they were more dominant in an attacking sense, and they'll be disappointed with having only scored one, because they did have some more chances and they dominated in terms of shots. I think that sometimes Arsenal are looking to do too much, maybe a little bit, and they're not stretching the play enough, like not having a target player. I thought that actually Russo and Blackstenius did well together, and maybe it could be something that they look at. But they're kind of similar as well in that they're industrious and they'll try and get involved. I think Russo does really well in that work, but will she get as many poacher goals as someone like Bunny Shaw? Probably not. So yeah, it'll just be interesting to see if they do become settled. Obviously making changes at 58 minutes does seem a little bit pre-panned, a triple sub there. And look, the amount of injury woes Arsenal have had over the last couple of seasons, you can understand where Adeville is coming from, but like say a risky scoreline to do that at. But yeah, Arsenal won't be disappointed with their start of the season in terms of points on the board. It's just that the other teams have above them have looked quite impressive.
Yeah, and like team, if you are going for the title, teams like Leicester are not really the teams that you can afford to be dropping points against. You know, Arsenal have Chelsea, I think, weekend after next. Chelsea's game next weekend obviously has been postponed against Manchester United because they're playing Champions League on 2 days later. In terms of United then, Karen, because I think we saw a lot of positives from that first weekend in terms of some improvements, but we also saw Everton leaking goals. It looks like Everton have had another big injury as well, which is worrying for them for their season. But why weren't United able to kick on after getting that early goal 4 minutes in?
I don't know. I think maybe they were surprised with the intensity that Everton came with in the press. They were allowed to play a lot more on the big open pitch the previous week. And yeah, it wasn't in by any means comprehensive by Man United at the weekend. Everton, they did improve, obviously, which was good. But yeah, I don't know. They struggle in these games. You know, sometimes they can raise their game against an Arsenal and they raise their game at Old Trafford, but this is where they need to be more comprehensive, and they'll be very happy to have come out of that game with 3 points because they'll look at Liverpool the last couple of weeks and the way that they struggled and how that might impact them. They don't want to fall into that trap, but plenty of room for improvement on that result. But again, Grace Clinton just proven what I think United fans knew when she was on loan, that she was needed in this team. So hopefully they can keep her injury free because she looks like the go-to person for this United team at the moment. And it's interesting to hear Mark Skinner during the week talking about Leah Galton potentially being more of a wing back in certain games and stuff. We've obviously been used to seeing her on the wing, but I think that wing back position might be a good one for her, and potentially allows United to get another attacking option on the pitch because sometimes it can be just a little bit stagnated.
No, definitely. And I agree with what you're saying about Grace Clinton there as well. I think she's doing exactly what we thought she would. But the question is, you know, do United take that risk? Do they start building a team around a player like that? Because I can't imagine if you're her, and unless United kick on and do something particularly spectacular this season, which maybe, you know, coming really might be getting that third place and might be coming really close to that third place, and she's happy with that, but she seems like the sort of player that's gonna have a bit of a head turn at some stage. Not a like diss on her character at all, it's just natural in football that if teams come looking and you're going to get to play Champions League football or whatever it is, that's going to be of interest for you.
Yeah, but that's something United need to get better at, is when they do centre a team around a focal point like they did with Russo, and even just having someone like Mary Earps and the influence that they had, it's the next step is becoming a team that can keep a player like that. And that will mean bringing in more players that you can feed off and actually competing for Champions League and making a mark in that. And I don't know if Man United are there yet. I think this is a very big season for them. They had a solid transfer window. I don't know if it was remarkable. I still think that we will see good things coming from Turland in time once things start to click and gel there. And obviously Ella Toon, she's going to grow into it as the season goes on. Not an easy time for her to be playing any of these games, but she's showing up for the team, and I think that that's a really, really big thing. So look, a little bit of work to be done. They'll be just happy to have gotten out of this weekend with 3 points.
Yeah, Jamie Cairn briefly mentioned it there, but Matt Beard will not be happy after the weekend getting that goal early. Olivia Smith, really exciting player that they signed, only 20, coming from Canada. A lot of people, I think, during the summer were happy that they were signing that sort of player. So again, it was someone who could grow with the team. It was someone who had already shown that they had plenty to show. But then to have the majority of the possession for the rest of the game, and I think they only registered two or three shots on target after that. Not good enough if you do want to be trying for that Champions League spot and also going up against your Manchester Uniteds of the world.
Yeah, and I know I said it last week about Liverpool again, like dropping 2 points. I think I gave them the benefit of the doubt that it was the first game of the season. So to do it again, I mean, to score so early, I think, as you said, Smith's goal, like lovely feet and finish was great. But then, like you said, there was nothing afterwards. I think if you want to finish in the top four, you need to be seeing out these games against West Ham and Leicester and Villa. Like you need to be beating these teams and picking up 3 points, because then when you come against Arsenal and Chelsea, you can put in performances against these teams and maybe nick a point here or there. But yeah, they definitely will be disappointed after that game, definitely dropping 2 points where really they should be beating West Ham. Considering the end of the season they had last year, they obviously would have wanted to come into pre-season, build on that and go that bit further this year. So yeah, very disappointing. And then we obviously seen Leanne come on as well. I think the West Ham keeper made a great save from Leanne too. Just disappointing really. I don't really know what can they really do from that performance. It wasn't the best really.
Yeah, like, is there a case that because of how United and Spurs have performed, or sorry, not Spurs, you know, I've just given away my point there, United and Liverpool have performed in last season, that we were maybe too quick to write off your likes of your Spurs, Brighton potentially too, if they can manage to add some goals to what they're building on? Or are those two teams still the ones to beat for that potential third, fourth, fifth?
Yeah, sorry, Karen. I was going to say, it's difficult. Like the first I said at the start, like I kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt, but like you need to be, I'm just repeating myself here, you need to be beating West Ham. Like if you score early on, there needs to be that kind of mindset in the team to, right, we need to get another one. But even this early on in the season, because when it comes to the latter stages of the season, this is where your fourth place is won or lost, I personally think so.
Yeah, I just think the gap between the top three and the rest is still massive. And every season we're talking about teams getting into that and challenging Chelsea, Arsenal and City. And there's always a notable like gap there. And I think among those teams, they'll all take points off each other. And it really is a slog to get places there. And I don't know what teams can do to bridge that gap without having a random breakout season and then a huge amount of investment, because I do just feel like the others are just, they're way ahead of them and now in the players that they can attract and hold on to. And I think that Liverpool did brilliantly last season, but unless they were going to get huge backing and make huge marquee signings, they made a good signing, but a huge marquee signing that will help them get to that next level. It's difficult to know where you're going to land in that middle part of the table. I think Spurs getting Rasso was really, really good, and you have to be really clever with your signings and stuff like that. So maybe she'll have an impact that can kind of help them through, but long term, it's hard to see, for me at the moment, anyone competing with the top three.
Feels like every so often, like every couple of seasons, Spurs pops up with like an absolutely unreal signing. Like you've Rasso, I mean, them getting Bethany England, that was a pretty good coup. Alex Morgan a couple of years ago, even though that was only a short-term one while she was coming back after pregnancy. But every so often they get very clever with the money that they have and they do these big signings. And yeah, I think you're right about Liverpool and United. If only their parent clubs, aka the men's side, were some of the richest in the world.
I know.
Karen, Jamie, thank you very much as ever. Very enjoyable podcast. And the Koi Gig Pod is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to Republic of Ireland women's national team. If you want to get in touch with us, you always can do at the Koi Gig Pod on X or Twitter, depending on how you like to call it. We will be back next week, as always, with a full lowdown of the weekend. Sadly, one of the most interesting games of the weekend, United-Chelsea, has been postponed for that Champions League. But we will have plenty of interesting things to talk to you about. So we shall see you all next week.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.